Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Weekman. Jack Wells is in the house. We're pretty excited. Of course, he's one of the sponsors of the Fishing Guide Podcast. But the thing that's great about this is the inside knowledge that Jack has. And so we're going to kind of pick his brain, see what he has to say about some things. And so let's just start with crappie fishing. And of course, we're here at the Crappie Compound, so we're kind of focused on crappie. But what would you say is the number one selling pole for crappie fishing? Well, and which is the number one selling pole for forward-facing sonar?
Okay. Because in a lot of cases, those are two separate poles.
Right.
I would tell you that our number one series overall is still the Buck's Graphite Jig Pole, affectionately known as the BGJP.
Right.
We do it in 8, 10... 11, 12, 14, 16, 18, and 20-foot lengths. So,
right.
But, you know, that was the first graphite crappie rod introduced in the U.S. by Buck Simmons.
Right.
In 1979, and it's still our flagship today.
Right. And you sell more of them because people are using them for everything?
I think we sell a lot of them just because it's a trusted brand and a trusted product, and folks know it.
Right.
So, and the action on the BGJP is unmatched. I mean, it is light. It is sensitive. It bends beautifully. It is probably the best all around jig pole that we have.
Right.
Sure.
And then how about when it comes to forward facing sonar?
Well,
you changed the game. When it came in, you changed, right?
Well, we did. But I would tell you, as far as forward-facing sonar, it's going to be the Diamond series, whether it's the Blue Diamonds or the Black Diamonds, just by virtue of, you know, being lightweight, having a stiff backbone, still having a light action, and something that you can use all day without wearing yourself out.
Right, and the reel seats are phenomenal on
that. They are.
Blue series, which they even look cool.
Yeah, I mean, the carbon fiber handle and the cork.
Yeah, you have to tell me, like, when it came to the handles and you had, like, a pistol grip and you guys got creative, right?
We did.
How did you do that? Did you do that, or did you have someone that gave you some input and said, hey, let's try something?
No, it was more of a collaboration between, you know, my factory and me. I kind of drew it out on a piece of paper, what I wanted it to look like, and we started sampling it until we got it right.
Was there other things that you did on a piece of paper and it came out and it turned out really good?
Most everything I do starts on a piece of paper.
Oh, really?
There's an old Seinfeld episode. I don't know if you know this, but George Costanza once said, important things go on paper.
And so
everything I do starts out on a piece of paper, believe it or not.
Oh, really? Hmm. Really, no CAD machine or anything like that?
No, that was in my old life. Not in this one.
In your old life?
When I was in the electrical industry, I used AutoCAD, and I don't use it anymore. So
that's helped you, has it not?
Do you have
an engineering degree?
No, it's not. I was not an engineer, but I spent almost 15 years with Eaton Corporation based out of Cleveland.
Does that help with structural design type thing? So when you're starting to look at a fishing poles are pretty cool, right? Fishing poles are like, you think about the old days, and fishing poles were those glass heavy rods that had metal eyes.
Well, I mean, before that, you know, we built our business on bamboo. So even before the fiberglass. So,
yeah. But talk about the rods as they developed. We have a minute. How did they?
You mean the
Yeah, the development. Series? Well, the development. Yeah, start with the Diamond series, because the Diamond series is just cool.
Right? Well, the Diamond series, you know, in addition to us developing it right around the time forward-facing sonar kind of became prominent, we were also approaching our 75th anniversary.
Right.
And, you know, one of the things that I wanted to do was I wanted to develop a couple of lines of products that were going to be top-notch, best of everything, best action, a really good premium product. And that's kind of where we landed on the Blue Diamond. So I was looking at the guides. I was looking at, you know, the type of graphite that we use. I'm looking at handles. I'm looking at reel seats. I mean, just, you know, various different components that we end up piecing together.
When you thought, like, 18-foot, I'm going to build an 18-foot rod for forward facing.
Oh, man. That was I mean, look, that has been one of the challenges as we've gotten into the forward-facing right. sonar. Everybody's wanting longer and longer poles.
Right.
And then you've still got a select group out there that want to boat flip those. Well,
right.
you know, an 18 or 20-foot pole boat flipping, that's a unicorn. There's really right. not such a thing.
Right.
So, but, you know, a lot of that, you know, a lot of folks have figured out, just use a dip net. You know,
right.
get you a rod that feels comfortable that you can use all day. Use a dip net. Don't worry about boat flipping it. I mean, I don't know of a lot of folks that are going to hook a 2-pound crappie and think, well, I'm going to flip that in the boat.
Right. You guys should actually come up with a net, a landing net, the B&M landing
net. We've looked at
it
several times.
You would have to make one very large because all the fish people catch on B&M rods are big.
That's right. That's right. Well, and we're in the catfish business too. So.
Oh, yeah. You'd really have to be big.
Now, it's something that we've looked at before. You know, again, it you have the same situation there. People are wanting right. a 15-foot extendable pole
yeah.
that won't bend, that'll stay right. stiff when you go to get the fish, and that's pretty difficult to do on something
right.
that's not made out of steel.
Uh-huh.
So
that does make a difference. Mm-hmm. I know one thing that I wanted to ask you is about rod, about the guides on a rod, because you always see there's like so many different styles in it, and it always says in the description it's got, like, it says it has
smooth casting
zirconium, you know, nitrate stuff that came from the moon or
mm-hmm.
something, and
mm-hmm.
no one actually knows what any of that means. Probably someone somewhere does, but how do you decide what materials that you use for them? And how do you choose the inserts? Because the inserts are usually put in there, and that makes a difference.
Okay. Well, a lot of it depends on what we think the product's going to be used for.
Okay.
So, in other words, a pole that you're guides that are going to be used on a pole that you're just straight up vertical jigging.
Right.
Okay. You get some line flow, but, you know, you don't get as much as you do if you were casting or something like
right.
that. So when you start getting into a spinning rod or a bait casting rod or something like that,
right.
that line's going through there an awful lot.
Uh-huh.
The things you got to watch out for, you've got to make sure that the material on your insert will be able to handle braided line.
Okay.
Because sooner or later, on a lot of these inserts,
right.
that braided line's going to wear a groove into it. And sooner or later, it's going to cut your line. So we have to look at that when we're developing a pole to make sure we have the right guide
right.
for the right technique. So,
and then how about like the seat on them? Like some of them have, is that called?
Some of them are double-footed and some of them are single-footed,
yeah. So how do you know that? Because doesn't that change the structure of the rod itself so that they're heavier, they don't bend as much if they have doubles?
A lot of that depends on whether they're double-footed and how many you have on there.
Uh-huh.
For us, you have a lot of folks out there that say, well, this pole's got 30 guides and this pole.
Right.
Ultimately, you just want to make sure that your line follows the pole as best that it can.
Right.
Okay, because that's going to prevent line breakage or pole breakage and that sort of thing. Okay.
Uh-huh.
It's just the physics of that.
Right.
So, you know, we like for our guides to all be steel or aluminum, for
right.
one, at least on the body. I like usually the first guide, the stripper guide, I usually like it to be a double-footed guide. From
okay.
there on, you know, the guide's really going to determine how the rod bends and that sort of thing. So a single-footed guide in a lot of cases is going to give you a better action and a better bend.
Right.
And it keeps the pole just a teeny bit lighter.
Right.
A teeny bit.
Just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Not much, probably.
No, but you'd be surprised. Some of the guys that are here at this camp this weekend, they'd notice it.
Yes, probably.
Hmm.
So that takes us to the reel sets, but the materials that you use for the handle itself
mm-hmm.
at the bottom, because some of them have like cork and some of them are EVA foam. And,
yep.
and so when you're looking at that, how do you decide that?
Well, typically, you know, when you see one of our products with an EVA handle on it,
yes,
that's generally going to be one that you can either hold in your hand or one you can put in your rod holder.
Oh, okay.
Because cork's not going to hold up. It's porous.
Right.
It's not going to hold up in the long term in a rod holder. So generally, an EVA handle is going to go on a pole that can either be held in your hand or may be put into a rod holder.
Right.
So
okay. Well, that makes sense
yeah.
in there. So you haven't made very many rods that are like signature rods, right? And so, right? Is that right? How many have you made signature rods? So I thought Godwin's rod was still there, but it's not. But
well, I mean, our first signature rod was Sam Heaton.
Uh-huh.
You know, we still, you know, Sam is still the granddaddy of them all.
Yeah.
But he was our first signature series. We have a couple. We've got, you know, we've got a series with Ronnie Capps and Steve Coleman that they developed, the Capps and Coleman trolling rod and the wading rods. You know, Russ Bailey, you know, being a good fisherman and the TV personality, we have a signature series for
him.
Is
that the West Point?
No, that's the Russ Bailey signature series.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, and then, of course, you know, we've got a guy in Louisiana, Steve Dana. He designed the Tree Thumper pole for us.
Oh, yeah, it's a great rod.
Oh, it's a fantastic rod. Yeah. Interesting thing there, I would tell you about Steve Dana, is that the first shipment of those I got in after we had finalized the design, he had every one of them sold already.
Wow.
Yeah.
Out of the carton container that came, huh?
Yep. So that was a pretty neat deal. And then, of course, you know, we worked in the past briefly with the Duck Commander folks on some stuff, and those were great products too. These were not cheap promotional products. We wanted a good product. They had plenty of cheap stuff out there at the time.
Right.
And then, of course, we've been working with John in the last few years. And, you know, the story of that rod's pretty interesting. I mean, 2 years ago we were at ICAST.
Right.
And I said, look, I want you to walk around with me. And we walked around ICAST one afternoon and picked out every single component for that rod.
Really?
Every guide. We picked out the reel seat. We picked out the handle. We did everything. So that rod's unique in a lot of ways, that being one of them. It's unique in the other ways that I don't have another action like that in my assortment.
Right.
You know, it's got a really stiff backbone, and it's got a loose tip on it, so it loads, casts light line, light lures. That's one, too, where to get the backbone and maintain that action, we actually, we've got a 45-degree piece of, we've got a piece of graphite cloth cut at a 45-degree angle that wraps around, you know, maybe the first 4 or 5 feet of that rod that gives it really good strength, but it doesn't affect the balance of it. And that's what you've got to watch out for.
That rod's phenomenal.
Oh, we love it.
That's a great rod. And the price point on it is crazy good,
it is.
Too. So
it is.
Usually for a rod that has that action on the end, you would expect that you're going to pay more. That's pretty simple because most of them are higher price rods
they
to
are.
Get that action that's on there. So
I mean, look, our philosophy has always been that you know, we would like for our price points to be affordable and easily approached by everybody.
Right.
And, you know, we want to sell to the masses.
Well, my favorite rod, I guess, I have lots, but my favorite rod is probably the Sam Heaton because I catch everything on it. Like, literally, I've caught every game fish species on Beaver Lake. Mm-hmm. I have, and as you know, I'm like the multi-species person, and I take out the 75th anniversary, and I'm sure you guys are cringing when I'm showing catching 15 and 18-pound stripers on that. And it's like, this is the perfect, minnow fishing rod for forward-facing for bass or for stripers. And I'm like, that works in good. The Godwin is also another great rod for bass fishing. So some of those are like crossing over that if you pick it up, you'll be like, oh, this will work.
Yep.
Like really good for that.
The Sam Heaton Super Sensitive Series, you know, that was one of the very first IM6 graphite rods that were brought to the market for crappie fishermen. And it was our first, I know. And so, you know, that has got a high modulus graphite cloth on it. It's a sweet rod. That 7-foot rod, I mean, that we sell more of that one. I mean, that is one of our best sellers every day.
I believe it.
Yep.
And it's just because of all the things that you can
That's
do
right.
with that.
It's very versatile.
So if you had to pick a rod, one rod, and you had to go fishing. I know I always like to get you somewhere in here. And you could pick just one rod to go out and go fishing in your boat. And you're going out on, let's just say you're going out on a reservoir that has everything. So let's pick Ross Barnett. We'll just go real random. So in Mississippi, Ross Barnett. Which one would you take?
I've been asked this question before. It's a rod that is a little more obscure you know, in our assortment than a lot of folks think. I actually have two that I would say are my favorites.
All right.
The first one is the 7'11" float and fly crappie special.
Uh-huh.
It's got a weighted handle, cork handle to it. It was designed for the float and fly technique. But for me, the memories I have with that rod, you know, years ago when all my children were young, we'd go camping.
Right.
A lot of times we would not take the boat. And so we're fishing from the bank.
Right.
And so I was looking for our best casting rod. And to this day, it's still the one that I'm going to reach for a lot of times.
All right.
The second one would be the Little Lucy.
Okay.
And that's primarily because it's named after my daughter. So
there you go.
Yeah. I got to say that.
Well, that takes us to Tackle Time. Tackle Time sponsored by Pico Lures. Pico Lures has a complete line of hard and soft bait. So no matter what kind of fish that you're chasing, you can go out there and catch them on Pico's. Of course, this week we're talking a lot with Les Smith going out there and trolling.
We used a lot of Pico today.
Yeah. What rods did you use today in the boat?
Today we were out of the front of the boat. We were using 20-foot. Pro Staff trolling rods.
Okay.
And of course we had a Leland Lures slab curly on the top, and then
a fin spin. Yeah.
And then we had Pico crankbaits on the bottom.
Right. And out of the back, what were you trolling with?
Out of the back, we were actually using planer boards out of the back.
Yeah.
So I think they were using the Gunner catfish rods.
Gunner.
Yep.
Yep. That's what they're using. So, they're using church boards. Mm-hmm. And so we use those. So we always love, like, that's the perfect match and situation for going out there. Of course.
Now stay tuned. Now we're working on something now that'll help that planer board fishermen, I think, are going to like.
All right. Well, there you go. He's teasing things. We don't know. We do know that we troll a lot. So hopefully if that's the deal, we'll get some. We'll test it out.
We're seeing trolling coming back quite a bit.
Yeah, trolling's coming back. And no matter what, you can do that from a pontoon boat. You can do that from a John boat. You can do it from any boat, bass boat. You can do it from any boat. So I think that's what makes trolling good. You don't have to be skillful. You don't have to look at your live scope and go, that fish is out 18 feet and it's down 6 foot and I need to drop this 16th ounce jig into them.
Correct. And I think the other thing, it's not as physically demanding.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I think if you look at all the data out there on the average age of a fisherman, you know, that number goes up every year.
Right.
And so, you know, I think being, you know, not quite as physically demanding. And also, I mean, you know, you're looking at the lake. You're looking at the osprey nest. You're enjoying nature at that point. And I think that's why a lot of folks like it. So.
Yep. But if you want to find out more, you can go to their website. Of course, they have the full line of everything they have there. That's at bnmpole.com. They also sell them just about every place. So every place got fishing tackle, you're going to be able to find it there. So you can look there. I think we covered almost everything except for we have to tell them, like, my favorite rod. Because we went with your favorite rod.
All right, so, yeah, I'd like to hear yours.
So my favorite rod, I'm going to go with the Sam Heaton casting rod.
Seven
because
footer.
I started throwing a little smaller glide baits that are lighter. And, of course, when we talk about smaller glide baits, we're looking at 5-inch. And they're still kind of big. But then there are some that they make that are still big, but they need something that needs a real soft tip. So you can turn around and go, you can use a crankbait, you can catch bass on it, you can turn around, you can use it for your planer boards and all that. So that's my favorite thing. Plus, I got to meet Sam Heaton at the Grizzly Jig Show. So when they have the Grizzly Jig Show next year, do you want to meet the man?
You
need to come because he's awesome.
You know, the best way to describe Sam is, you know, he is one of these people that you meet in this life that when he walks into a room, he owns it.
Right.
From the minute he walks in.
Yeah.
And that's just that's the nature of his personality. I mean, he's got a joke ready at any time. And you know what? Most times they're funny.
Right.
But he's an American hero. I mean, he's a Vietnam vet. I mean, he is one of the toughest birds I believe you will ever meet in your life.
That's right. Anyway, that ends our show. Like I always like to end the show, make sure you keep your hook sharp and your lures in the water.